This is the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, and people that influence other people to bring value and bring some encouragement and hope that, you know, maybe if you're starting a business or maybe you're starting a new venture, that you want to stay motivated. And today we have Louis Gunta. He is a serial entrepreneur. I met him through my barber friend, Junho Rivera, here in Fort Lauderdale. And Louis has experience with the barbershop world and other businesses, and he's in Port Charlotte. Welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast, Louis.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yep, I am Louis Gunta. I am honored to be here today. And yeah, I'm looking forward to having some conversation with you. Junho's a great guy, and I'm sure you are too. So I look forward to getting to know you even more.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I followed you on Facebook and Instagram. Junho, I think, had some type of like, he was promoting you in a way. So, oh, yeah, you know, like he's been helping me out with his barbershop and takes a lot with promotion. But first, let's begin with the show. Tell us a little bit about your beginnings.
Okay. Let's see. From early age, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, man. When I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and even in Brooklyn, back then, I used to sit on my front stoop and sell seashells from the summertime to all the people in Brooklyn. So I always had the entrepreneurial spirit, you know. And I think nowadays, I think that the word entrepreneur gets misconstrued many times. You know, I try and have a discussion with folks, you know, and I want to put my heart out there. And you know, when people rent a chair and they want to consider themselves an entrepreneur, it's an entrepreneurial spirit. But being an entrepreneur really requires that you also employ other people and you empower other people to become part of that too. It just doesn't include going out there and renting a chair. That's just the beginning of it. It certainly is a great beginning. It just is a beginning to what an entrepreneur truly is. I also was in the nightclub industry for most of my life. I spent about 25 years in the nightclub industry. I had the second largest nightclub company in the country. Up until I was about 45 years old. And then I kind of semi-retired and moved here to Florida from Colorado. We had 11 nightclubs in 9 states. So that was a lot of my background was in the nightclub industry, which gave me a ton of experience. It allowed me to understand what guerrilla marketing really was, what grassroots marketing really is, and what branding consists of. Because, you know, in the nightclub industry is very competitive. It's expensive to be part of that industry. If you don't have a lot of money, you don't belong, you know, and I started that on a shoestring budget. I started by taking over a little sports bar in the middle of nowhere in Denver, Colorado, and then grew into nightclubs that were over 15,000 square feet per location, you know, and then having 11 locations at that point when I semi-retired here to Florida. So that's kind of my entrepreneurial background. I also do speaking engagements. I do a program called FIBER, which is an acronym for Fun, Integrity, Balance, Empowerment, and Respect. I teach that to local schools and kids that are in school, primarily a lot of technical schools, because I feel like they're not taught a lot about what to expect when they're thrown out there into the industry. You know, you learn the basics of cutting hair, you learn the basics of how to hold a scissor, how to hold a pair of clippers, but then all of a sudden you get out there and into the real world and you're like, okay, how are you going to process credit cards? How are you going to operate your business? And a lot of times with the people in the barber industry, you are your own business. You're either renting a chair or you're on commission or you're a little bit of both, but you're your own business and you got to figure that out. So I created that program, FIBER, Fun, Integrity, Balance, and Empathy and Respect around that. Because in my world, if I'm not having fun, I can't do anything. So fun is a real big basis of my life. And integrity, if I don't operate with integrity, I can't expect anybody around me to operate with integrity. So that's a big point of what I got going on. And one of the things that I struggled with in life for a long time being an entrepreneur was balance between my home life and my work life. When my home life was struggling, my work life was doing great. When my work life was struggling, my home life was doing great. So it's really hard to create that balance when you're in the business, in any kind of business, when you want to take it to the next level.
Yeah, that's something that I'm an entrepreneur as well. You know, bringing that, you know, how can you balance your personal and your business? You know, you got to have a personal life. You got to go to Mother's Day lunches sometime. And then, of course, you got to operate your business. Louis, let's rewind a little bit. Who like inspired you to become an entrepreneur? Was it your dad, your uncle, or grandfather, or you saw someone on TV?
Well, to be honest with you, I come from an Italian family. I spoke Italian before English. I'm the first generation American to be here. And that kind of is what catapulted me to want to become an entrepreneur, because I felt like, you know what, we came here as a family for a reason. And we came here to live the American dream. My father was not an entrepreneur, but my father, when he came here, he was 10 years old. He came fresh off the boats. And he built his way up and dropped out of school when he was young, because his father passed away young and he had to raise his siblings. So what happened then is he ended up, by the time he retired, he was an international vice president for the largest stock brokerage firm in America. And he got to live the American dream from a different perspective. He wasn't technically an owner of a business, but he got to live it through hard work and through integrity and through balance, through all the stuff that I teach when I'm out there. So while I watched him develop, I also watched my family develop and be able to grow. And that's what kind of gave me the push to want to live a dream. And that dream was to own my own business, was to be able to help other people grow and to be able to move other people to the next level. So that's how I continue every day to be able to build the dream that I've built now or continue to build.
Yeah, the immigrant story is so inspiring, you know, where you come from from a place that is kind of ruined or something happened in your original country, come to America, and the opportunity is so big and looms. And that's an amazing story. Louis, so tell me about the barbershop industry. How'd you get into it and why?
Great question. I never expected to be in the barbershop industry, which is kind of interesting. It wasn't something that was any part of my life. I never saw it as being any part of my life. But when we moved here to Florida, my wife now, back then was my girlfriend, she was a barber. So she took a job when we got here. She took a job with one of the large corporations, and they worked her to the bone for probably about 4 or 5 months until I was like, you know what, enough's enough. We can't do this. You need to find something else. So she found a barbershop here in our town and started working there. And things were great there until they weren't. You know, one day it was fantastic. And then one day it just wasn't any longer. And she considered leaving the business. So we had two choices. And this is kind of a funny deal, because the two choices were either she leaves the industry and finds something else to do, or she finds somewhere else to work. So what we did is that we decided that she was going to find somewhere else to work, and that we would rent a chair in a salon. This salon literally looked like what most of Florida looks like a mermaid threw up in there. You know, it's painted that teal blue. It's got, you know, the driftwood all over the walls, the mermaid tails, all that kind of stuff. And it was a salon. It didn't have a barber in there. It didn't have anything. So we bought a barber chair and we rented a space in the salon. From day one, we decided to brand it as Wise Guys Barbershops from day one. So guys would show up and they'd be like, I thought I was going to a barbershop, you know, and we'd have to kind of poke fun at it and say, you know what, once you sit in the barber chair, you're now a wise guy. So we had to be able to give some kind of fun to it, just because it was an atmosphere of women, you know, and we're trying to pull off a barbershop or a barber chair in this atmosphere of women. So it's kind of interesting how that worked. So that was about August. And then by about January, we were so busy, or she was so busy cutting hair, that we had to make the next decision. And what was the next decision was either we stayed with the clientele that we had and didn't grow any longer. And I stopped doing the marketing and I stopped doing the promotions. And mind you, at this point, I didn't really know anything about Facebook. I didn't know anything about Instagram. And I started promoting on Facebook and I started promoting on Instagram. And I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. It just happened to work. People kept on showing up saying, I saw you on Facebook. I saw you on Instagram. I love your videos. I love what you talk about. You know, and they started showing up at the barbershop. And then Candace handled the rest. She gave great service. She gave great haircuts. And, you know, like I've always told people and when I speak to them is I believe that 30% of what happens in a barbershop has to do with the haircut. Unless, of course, you get those people that are very meticulous about their hair. There's going to be those people. And the other 70% has to do with the experience. You have to give people the experience. You have to give them the personability. You got to be able to mesh with those people one-on-one. And you got to be able when they walk out. And it's amazing to me how many times I hear from guys that are in their 40s, 50s, or even 60s that say, this is the best haircut I ever had. I'm not sure if that's the case. It's the same haircut you've always had. It's probably the best experience you ever had. You just kind of look at it as a haircut because that's what they're looking at getting, right? At the end of the day, they came there to get a haircut. So in January, that's what happened. We were at a point to breaking out of the seams. We either stopped marketing and live with what we had, or we opened a barbershop. Well, what also happened at the same time too is Candace is a singer and she was actually on American Idol back in the day, and she made it to Hollywood and everything. And she wanted to give it one more shot. So we came down to Miami, and this is when I first met Juno. We came down to Miami and she auditioned for The Voice. And the thing was, between the two of us, we had already found a location to open a barbershop. And we said, okay, I'll tell you what, if you don't make it on The Voice and we don't make it to Hollywood or whatever the next step is, we come back, we sign a lease and we go for it. We just go for it. We didn't have much money. We were operating on a penny budget. And we went to Miami and she auditioned for The Voice. She made it through two rounds, but didn't make it through the last round of going to their, you know, going to their TV program. So we came back, we signed the lease. I had about, I don't know, let's call it about $4,000 in my pocket to do what I needed to do to open a 1200 square foot barbershop. And I had one barber. So I was going to do this. And I took about 3 weeks. The guy gave me 3 weeks free rent leading up to the April 1st opening. So basically 3 weeks of May that I had to remodel this whole place that was nothing, just a shell. And I did it in 3 weeks. We opened the barbershop. We opened with a few clients that we had from the salon. And that was at the time, that was about, I don't know, probably about 200 or so clients in the system, somewhere around there. We happened to find another part-time barber and we opened the doors on April 2nd, 3 years ago.
Incredible. Wow. $4,000 to start a barbershop. That's quite impressive. Louis, and what have you learned about the barbershop industry these past couple of years? I know you probably, these past 3 years had to go through the pandemic, but what have you learned so far?
You know, I've been able to learn a lot. You know, number one that I've learned is what I told you about just a little bit ago. It's about the experience. We have to be able to give a customer an experience from the minute they walk through the door to the minute they leave. In between that time, there's a haircut involved. But the experience all around when they come in, do they feel comfortable in the environment? Do they feel like it's a social environment? Are they clicking well with the barbers? Are we giving them an opportunity to rebook? Rebooking is so important when you're trying to build your books. I've also found that it's very difficult to find good barbers. that's not an easy task. You know, now let's fast forward a little bit here. I opened with 1.5 barbers. Now I have 6.5 barbers. And that was very difficult to get to that point. Now I have what I feel a really great conducive team that works well together. In fact, we just got a review the other day about a lady who came in to get a haircut, and she gets a very short haircut, but the barber she was scheduled with was not comfortable with doing ladies' hair. So she handed her off to another barber and they worked together and did it. And the lady gave us an outstanding review and was in tears when I spoke with her on the phone, because I tend to call everybody that gives us a review. And I just pick random people to call and just ask how they did at the barbershop, because I may not be there all the time. This is my home office and this is where I typically work from, doing all the marketing and all the behind the scenes type work. So in order for me to keep a pulse on the business, I really need to call clients and see how it went. So when I was speaking to this lady, she was in tears about how well we worked together and how well the synergy was. So I also figured out within the barber industry, there's a lot of commotion. There's a lot of outside noise. And what I mean by that is if you don't get the right team in place, you're going to be taken over by that outside noise, whether it's drama that shouldn't be in the barbershop to begin with, or whether it's competition because you see the guy next to you as a competitor rather than a teammate, or whether it's somebody who just doesn't feel as adequate as somebody else. So then they start bowing down a little bit and you see them not working as hard or anything like that. So you really got to be able to develop a really conducive team and work well as a team. So I found out a lot about that. Also that marketing is a huge part of this industry. People love before and afters. People love videos and they love to see those things out there. So when I talk to other barbershop owners, because here's one thing that I've learned in my life as an entrepreneur is I don't believe that I have competition. Nobody is my competition. I'm my own competition. Okay. So if a barbershop comes to me that's two blocks away from me and comes to me asking for help, I'm going to help them. I don't have anything to hide. People say all the time, what's the secret of growing your business? Or what's the secret of becoming $1 million barbershop, which we are. We're $1 million barbershop, you know, and what's the secret? There is no secret. It's hard work, you know, and it's being consistent. And, you know, people always ask me all the time, so what's one of the biggest things? What's one of the biggest pointers you can give me to growing my books, growing my clientele? And I tell them, number one thing is get involved in your community, be part of your community. You know, whether it's you that's going to do a community event or you're going to go be part of a community event, be a vendor, be somebody who gets seen, and your community will love you for it. Your community will follow you for it and know that you're doing something good for that community. That's the empowerment that you get from being part of the community. So that's what I tell them all the time. You want to grow your business, make sure you're part of the community. You want to grow your business, make sure you're consistent. Make sure you're consistently giving your clients the best possible experience and the best possible haircut. And you'll see your business grow just by that. Make sure you're consistent on posting online. Make sure you're consistent on meeting people. So I believe that I have no competition and I will help anybody who asks me for help. And there's another thing that I've learned. There's a huge amount of ego in this industry. Egos are huge, you know, and I wish people would get past those egos because I've got a lot to teach and I've got a lot to learn. So I would love for the people that have these huge amount of egos to be able to teach me. I want to learn too. Every day is a learning experience for me. If I'm not learning something in a day, and every day I write down every day, part of my growth process is I journal every day. What did I learn today? And I've got to have something good on there, because if I didn't, I feel like I missed out on a day. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it's quite incredible. A journal to take notes, you know, what you learned, what you didn't, like what mistakes you made and things like that. Louis, this is a very impressive. As you have been, I mean, you have consulted other barbershops in the past. Consulted my friend Juno with certain things, and you talk about like the experience. What are key things a barbershop should look outside, the inside? What is your recommended preferences?
Well, you know, the outside has to draw attention to be able to pull people in off the street. How are you going to do that? How are you going to draw attention? A sign is great. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't afford a sign on top of my barbershop for the first 18 months we were open. You know, what I did is I, in the beginning, for the first 3 months, I couldn't afford to sell product. I just didn't have the money to buy product. Once I had product, I started saving that money, the money that we made on product. And I used that money to buy the sign that said, and all I got was a sign that said barbershop, very basic, nothing sign. It doesn't even say Wise Guys on it. All it says is barbershop. Because at the end of the day, that's all I need to communicate to the person that's out there on the street is we're a barbershop. When they get through the door, you'll have no doubt that you just walked into a Wise Guy's barbershop. Inside, I've laid out my pictures accordingly. A lot of people will come in and say, wow, this is like a mafia museum. This is like a museum to the mafia. Well, you know, people will say to me, what made you decide to call it Wise Guys? A lot of times I'll joke with my clients and I'll say, well, you know what? When I went into the witness protection program, my lawyer told me to stay in plain sight. So they told me to just call it Wise Guys. Some people look at me and want to turn around and run the other way. And then I just tell them, you know what? I'm joking. The reason why I call it Wise Guys is back in the day of when the mob was created, it was created to protect the motherland. It was created to protect Sicily. It was created to protect families. And this is a family environment. This is a family barbershop, and we're all about family. I don't know if you know, but out of my six barbers, One's my wife, one's my son, one's my daughter.
The whole family.
So almost three of six are my family. So when it comes to being a family barbershop, we certainly are. And my wife's daughter, she's in cosmetology school right now. So she's coming down the pipe also. So I started getting to a point where it got so difficult of finding barbers, I just made them.
Wow.
You know, so yeah. That's what's important to me is you got to pull people's attention from the outside. And once you get them inside, it has to be a good, conducive environment. When I started doing research on opening a barbershop, I went and visited barbershops around my town. I would call people and say, what's the best barbershop in this area? Tell me what it is. I'm going to go visit them. So I would go visit them. And I went to this one that I was told was a great barbershop. The guy's actually an educator, and I won't mention names, but I went in there and the music was so loud, I couldn't hear what the barber was telling me. There was hair all over the place. The sink that they were using to cut hair with or wash hair with looked like it hadn't been used in 2 years. It was full of dust, full of hair. It was gross. The guy who's the educator was not there, but he had left his station like he had just got done cutting hair. Now, I'll be honest with you. I got a great haircut, no question about it. But the whole time I could not communicate with my barber because the music was so loud. It was reggaeton music and it was just all bass and all boom, boom, boom. Now, to me, that's not a conducive environment. In some places it is for the specific clientele. You have to, in the beginning of any entrepreneur experience or when you're trying to open a business, you have to define who your customer is. You have to know who your perfect customer is. You need to sit down, understand what your perfect customer is and go out after them. Because I just had a team meeting with my barbers this past weekend. And I told them, we're not for everybody. That's not us. We're not here to be for everybody. We'll never be for everybody. We're here for a certain clientele. We're here for a certain customer. And that customer expects more from us. We got to be able to give them a value. They want to be able to walk away and say, you know what? I just got charged $40 for a haircut, but I got a value out of it. It was a value. I believe that I got a great haircut. I got a great experience. And now I'm coming back to a place that I've been looking for a long time. Because you hear that all the time, right? You hear, oh, I've been looking for a great barber for a long time. Okay. You know, there seems to be barbershops at every corner and you've been looking for a long time. Well, let's see what we can do for you. So I think the important part about it, like we said, the outside has to draw attention. The inside, once you get them in, you got to be able to keep them in by giving them a good conducive environment. You know, you play the right music that's going to be for your clientele. And don't get me wrong, that barbershop that I went to where the music was way too loud and all that kind of stuff, their clientele may be just for that. You know, that may be their deal, and that's okay. That place has been open a long time and they seem to do good business. So that's okay. It just wasn't going to be my barbershop that did that, if that makes sense.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I've heard the most safest barbershop music is Frank Sinatra.
Yes. Yes. And we play a lot of that, obviously, because we're wise guys. We play a lot of Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. We mix up everything. And in fact, I can't tell you I would say probably one out of every five review that I get left talks about our music. That the music was great. One out of every five review. So I took a long time to figure out what was going to be the best music to play in a barbershop. And I created a playlist accordingly. And that's what I did. Details are everything. You know, if you don't know the details, you're going to miss everything else that's above the minute part of it. And that minute part of it, you may think that music doesn't play a big role, but it does.
The barbershop has evolved in the past couple years, 10 years. You know, you see barbershops now adding like little bars, little mini bars and adding some more services. How do you see the barbershop industry in the next couple years? You think will it evolve much or you think it'll stay consistent like now?
I think that we need to look forward to more services. I think guys are continuing to allow themselves to be pampered more, for a lack of better words. You know, I'm not a big fan of the word pampered because it has a female connotation to it, but that's what's happening, you know, and you see barbershops not only including the bars, but they also have cigar smoking lounges as part of them. They're doing pedicures and manicures. you know, so it's happening, man. It's happening. And it may be a separate part of that barbershop and you may not see it. I mean, I've seen, there's a couple of them that have opened up in the Sarasota area over here. You know, the Sarasota area is big money, you know, and over there, they're looking at all these kind of services. And it may be a separate part of it in a separate room that this is going on, but a lot of what's going on, and I think it's going to continue to go on, is added services. The facial is becoming a huge part of the barbershop world. So get acquainted with that. Go out there and find what's best for you. Some people like the facial peels. Some people like the clays. Some people just like the wipe off facials. I'm partial to the wipe off facials. I think a hot towel, just wiping them off, is better than worrying about whether or not that, that peel is going to stick to your skin and I'm going to cause damage. I've seen too many bad videos on that.
Yeah. And I know that sometimes it can give you like a red burn sometimes when you right. pull off, which, you know, it kind of depends if you like it or not. But no, yeah, it's quite interesting with more services. Like the whole facial thing, and like this past 3-4 years, I've seen it boom a little bit. And then of course we're seeing like nose waxes.
Yeah, nose waxes. We do them almost every day. Nose waxes and ear waxes.
Exactly. Which is, I think it came from Turkey, I believe. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, like the evolution of all that. Of course, yeah, new services. Obviously, barbers are now selling their own gel. I've seen that. And of course, t-shirts. So, you know, you always got to expand and make things look a little bit more interesting. Louis, you also do some speaking engagements. Tell us a little bit about that and what could people expect?
I do a program called FIBER, which is an acronym, which is fun, integrity, balance, empowerment, and respect. Mostly I teach and speak to school age students or students that are in technical colleges, giving them an opportunity to understand what to expect when they come out of the industry. You know, it's what's sad to me is, and this is a fact, and this is a research study, is that kids that graduate with a, let's say, ability to go get a barber license or ability to go get a cosmetologist license, 70% of those will be out of the industry within a year. It's because we're doing something wrong. It's not because of them. Now, if you looked at it and said 30%, then you could say it's because of them. They didn't do something right. It's 70% because what we're doing wrong in the industry. There's places out there like the Great Clips and the Sports Cuts that are burning these people out and paying them $8 an hour and expecting them to be okay with that when they've gone and literally have a college education. I mean, when you fill out your form for the Census Bureau and it asks you whether or not you're college educated, technically, as a barber or as a cosmetologist, you are college educated. So no matter what you think, and I try to explain that to them, no matter what you think, you are higher educated than everybody else. So treat yourself that way. Give yourself the empowerment, give yourself the notability and the pat on the back to say you are educated. So that's what I do is I teach that FIBER program, try and get folks in line to what to expect when they finally get out to the business world. Fun to me, part of FIBER, is I got to have fun in everything that I do, in anything that I do. If I'm not having fun, I'm not doing it. And what I say to these students, you got into this industry because you're looking, because it looks like fun, right? And 90% of the time, they'll say yes. So fun to me is important that you make sure you're having fun. And then the next one with integrity. Integrity is make sure you're doing the right thing even when nobody is watching. Make sure that what you preach is what you really do. You know, make sure you have integrity. Integrity is so important and it lacks everywhere we go. I mean, you can see that on mainstream TV. You see somebody on video doing something and then you go ahead and you interview that person. They said, I didn't do that. Well, wait a minute. It's on video right here. What do you mean you didn't do that? That's integrity. That means you're somebody who operates without integrity. And to be honest with you, if that's the way you operate, I don't want nothing to do with it. The next one in the FIBER thing is balance. We talked a little bit about balance in your home life, with your work life. We all want our side little hustle. One thing that I didn't mention before is not only do we have Wise Guys Barbershop, but we also have our own product line called Cosa Nostra Men's Grooming. So we have our own shampoo, conditioner, we have our own styling powder, and we have our own molding paste. So that's our four products that we have out right now. And sometimes I have to think about and pull myself back and say, okay, is that truly where I want to invest my time? Do I want to grow that product line to be able to be a standalone as its own? Right now, I pretty much sell it at my barbershop and about five other private clients that, not clients, but barbers or barbershops that we know that we supply. I really haven't put a lot of effort towards that because I know if I do that, I'm going to throw my balance off. I still have a family I need to worry about. I still have kids that I need to worry about. So it's important in the balance world that we do that. Empathy is so important. I'll tell you a story. We had, especially in our game, because empathy is, we get people that come in and they want to talk about things that are just sometimes will make our jaws drop. We had a lady come in one day and she came in and said, you know, I want my haircut, blah, 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 blah. And as we're cutting her hair and it's only me and Candace in the shop at this point, it was towards the end of the day and my daughter. And she says, you're giving me the last haircut of my life. What are you talking about? Well, the doctors are giving me a week to live and I want to make sure that my hair looks great when I'm, you know, seen, blah, 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 you know? And I'm like, oh my God, you never know what's going on in people's lives. We have to live with empathy. We got to put our feet in other people's shoes. Sometimes we got to understand that, you know what, no matter what problems we're going through, there's always somebody that has a bigger problem. The life that people are praying about is the life that we have, you know, and we can't forget about empathy. Empathy is such an important thing. And then the last one, respect. I mean, how can I define respect? We have to be able to respect one another. We have to be able to respect the industry that we're in. And we have to be able to respect the people that started, the old school people, the people that started this industry that got us the opportunity to be able to be there. And we have to respect our clients. So more than anything else, we got to make sure we respect their time. If we're setting somebody in an appointment, now I get it. If we're running five or seven minutes behind, I understand that. Things happen. But we don't sit there and have an appointment for somebody. We call it a reservation at the barbershop because it's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and you have a reservation for a table. That table may take longer to eat. You're reserved for that table, but you may not get in there right away because it may take a little bit longer to eat. But I'm not talking hours. I'm not talking about a half hour. I'm talking about a few minutes. 5 to 7 minutes is acceptable. Anything beyond that point, we're not respecting our clients' time. And I hate that. I hate that we're not respecting other people's time. And then all of it together is called wrapped up fiber together is called empowerment. If you're able to do the fun, integrity, balance, empathy, and respect, you now have empowered yourself to be able to go to the next level. So that's what I go out and I preach about and I give classes on. That's what I do my motivational speaking on.
Louis Guta, I cannot think of another way to end this podcast. That was beautiful. It was perfect. What is the best way to reach you online to find out your array of businesses?
You could find me at itsme.louisg on Instagram or Louis Junta on Facebook. Real easy.
Well, there you go. This is Louis Guta. Serial entrepreneur, barbershop owner extraordinaire, and of course, a motivational speaker, also a marketer influencer on social media. Louis, I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
I appreciate you having me. It's been an honor. Thank you very much. And if you ever need anything, you just let me know.